chance here for the Crew. And there's a long fly ball deep right field, and it's 3-0 Pearl Crew on a mammoth shot from Travis Shaw.
Travis Shaw, one of the many reasons why the Brewers are much better than we thought this year. Matt LaPay on that call today.
I want you to be completely honest right now, Adam Hoge.
Yeah.
What do you know about Travis Shaw? No judgment here.
Well, I know he came over in the Tyler Thornburg trade.
Get him, Hoge.
Thornburg, the guy from Die Hard?
Yes.
The TV
the
personality?
The guy from Die Hard. The Brewers traded him. That's how good the Brewers front office is now. They traded a movie character to Boston and got Travis Shaw.
So, okay. That's a decent answer, I suppose, on who Travis Shaw is, who hits in the middle of the Brewers lineup, and nobody knows who any of the Brewers are, and they're all beating the Cubs, just
well,
for the record.
Well, look, this is why we have Mike Heller coming on the program right now. We've spent over 90 minutes now discussing why the Cubs are not good. And then the other part of this equation is, what is going on with the Brewers, and why are they good? And why are, especially in the last week, everyone in this city, Mike, kind of realizing, well, maybe you can't sleepwalk to a division title this year. So Mike Heller, who's a radio host in Wisconsin, Big 920, Big 1070, fills in for Dan Patrick, fills in for Rich Eisen. Mike, want to start here. First of all, how did the Brewers get to 50 wins already? Why are they this good? Because we didn't expect this.
No, I don't think anybody expected it. I think the over-under win total for Milwaukee was in the low 70s. I don't think anybody saw this coming. I think the good thing about what they've been able to do, Adam, is they can hit from every spot in the lineup. They didn't expect to get the production that they got from the catching position, but they've got it from Manny Pena. Initially, they got it also from Jet Fandy. All guys nobody's heard of, right? So they pick up Stephen Vogt off waivers a couple of weeks ago. Domingo Santana came over in a trade with Houston a couple of years ago. That was a Doug Melvin deal. He's been really good in the middle of the order. Shaw, who you guys were just talking about, had no place in Boston. Didn't fit in their plans at third base. Didn't love the media scrutiny. He comes over and he's raked. Eric Thames, I think that story's been pretty well chronicled. Nobody knew what to expect there. They've just continued to get it. You know, they've done a lot of their work without Ryan Braun, who would be the three hitter in their lineup. He, again, didn't play today with calf tightness yesterday and has missed, you know, about a month and a half or more of the season so far. So nobody saw it coming, but they hit from all different spots in the order, and they mashed. They hit a lot of home runs, and pitching has been good enough.
Mike, I've been extensively reading about the Brewers, and it's taking years off my life, actually. But literally, and I don't want to start a controversy here because I'm sure this is all above board, even though there is that Ryan Braun guy on there who lied and lied and lied and lied, and then he got caught and got suspended, and now he's whatever, maybe above board. But literally every single Brewer has added velocity on to where they were last year. Chase Anderson's in that mix. Jimmy Nelson's in that mix. You have guys performing offensively like they never have before. Is anybody discussing how in the world are all these guys just transforming themselves before our very eyes?
Well, I don't know that I see what you're trying to do. I'm not going to take all of the bait. I'll take a little bit of it. Jimmy Nelson is a guy who is right in the beginning of his prime. So he was going to get better, stronger. Chase Anderson would be a question. But he's also, you know, they added a new pitching coach a year ago. And in that, I think that they've made some changes in how they work with some of their guys in release points and mechanics. And I think that's had some impact. Shaw got out of Boston, and he wasn't a regular in Boston. He played. He was a platoon. He played against right-handed pitching, and not all the time. And in the media center that Boston is, I don't know if it necessarily fit well with him. So I think he's really comfortable. You know, on the velocity, I think if you check, pretty much everybody in Major League Baseball is up on velocity, in part because of how they measure. I think they measure it now immediately out of the hand. So I think everybody's numbers are up a little bit. But of the guys you mentioned, I think only Chase Anderson would be somebody who you would have not expected to add velocity. Nelson's right in the beginning of the prime. And a guy like Corey Knebel, again, that's a great trade piece. And he's not throwing harder than he has in the past. He's just kind of mastered, or at least can use it as a weapon, his breaking pitch, which is ridiculous. But when he can't throw for a strike like he couldn't yesterday, you know, people still hit his fastball, and they hit it for a three-run homer to lose yesterday in New York.
The big report earlier this week, Mike, was that by John Morosi of Fox, that the Brewers are looking for pitching, Jose Quintana, Sonny Gray, whoever. How's their farm system? Do they have the pieces that could bring somebody like that back that maybe the White Sox would be interested in?
The only way the Brewers do this is for a controllable younger pitcher. So Quintana, maybe. Sonny Gray, maybe. It depends on what they'd have to give up in return. The Brewers are really stacked in the minor league system, especially from outfielders. I think Lewis Brinson would be an untouchable in their minor league system, and I don't know if they have any others. So I think they would do it if they get a controllable pitcher. The Brewers will not rent a starting pitcher to take them through September. So if they make a deal for Quintana, and you have to refresh my memory, I think he's under club control for two more years.
Three more.
And Sonny Gray is this and two more. So you have the opportunity to add a pitcher if that pitcher is somebody that you control for a couple of years. David Stearns would do that. Mark Attanasio would agree to that. They won't go rent one. They won't do what, you know, what maybe Chicago, what the Cubs might do. I don't think the Brewers are going to do what they've done in the past and rent somebody like they did with CC Sabathia all those years ago.
That's the second CC Sabathia reference of our show today, because we were just talking about how the Cubs need exactly that, which is hard to find the way CC Sabathia was so good in 2008 for the Brewers. He's Mike Heller. You can follow him on Twitter at Heller Sports. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton all here with you, trying to figure out why the Brewers are good. Mark Carmen apparently thinks it's steroids.
No, I don't agree with him. I'm just asking the question.
You brought it up.
One guy after another, he did Pilates in the offseason. Now he's throwing 5 miles an hour faster. I'm like, hey, I didn't know it worked that way.
Sounds like Jake Arrieta to me.
Yes.
Mike, come on,
fair
man.
Fair enough. Hey, Mike, you know that a lot of my family resides in Wisconsin, and I saw a lot of them over 4th of July weekend. And I'm curious the reaction you're getting from Brewer fans, because I, you know, start talking to them about the Brewers, and there's these, you know, reports of Quintana and things like this coming up. And I'm going, you know, where they are in their rebuilding phase, buying right now doesn't really seem like the best option. You just kind of explain what you think they'll actually do and only go after long-term options. But what's the reaction you're getting from Brewer fans in terms of what they should do this season right now to try to outlast the Cubs?
Well, I think from a fan perspective, I don't think this will surprise you. Fans always want you to go get it. You know, you've got this opportunity now, go get it. That's what fans always want. So what I think the really cool thing with the Brewers is that they're wired the way Theo Epstein is wired. With a young team a couple of years ago, he wasn't going to go buy unless that buy was for player control, club control of that player. So I think that the best thing that the Brewers have going for them is that David Stearns, the young GM that came over from Houston, is not in a mortgage your future, go for it now mode. This roster, and I think one of the other things maybe Mark can buy into more than the juice, is that the Brewers all have the only guy that they're paying any money to right now, two guys, Matt Garza, who's a surprise because he's been serviceable, and Ryan Braun, who's missed, you know, almost half of the first half of the season. Everybody else is in a contract mode. They're all young, and there's a lot of competition on this roster for playing time, so they're all kind of going to get it. And they don't know that they can't do it, which is the great thing about some young rosters, is they don't know that they're not supposed to be playing, you know, at 9 or 10 games over 500 with a 5.5 game lead at the All-Star break. It would help if they added a pitcher. I think anybody that's watched rosters before, when you add a pitcher, the position players get a boost. So if they go get Sonny Gray or Jose Quintana, I think that Milwaukee, I think they're for real already. But I think the roster would really begin to understand that there's a great opportunity here in front of them if they were to go add a frontline starting pitcher.
All right, Mike. Every time I go to ask a question, my two counterparts stole questions from me. It's okay.
Dog eat dog world, buddy.
But it's all good, Mike. But I was in Wisconsin as well, and talking to a lot of my wife's family, I think the take was, she's got a big family, was that, well, you know what? The Brewers will find a way to be able to mess it up. That's the conversations that I was having. And you mentioned it a little bit about having, you know, young guys on the roster, that they don't really understand the mentality. But it's a switch that's in this city where you have Cubs fans that are expecting a lot. And I think that goes a long way with a team that it does have some young players that are trying to figure things out, to be able to say, listen, it can be real as long as you kind of keep your head focused like this team seems like they're doing.
Yeah, and I think the really good thing there, Jared, is that Craig Counsell is that way. And he's their manager who has been here, who didn't do it with great talent. Craig was a talented guy. You don't get to the bigs and have the success he did without being greatly talented. But he played against guys who had more skills than he did. So he always kept his nose to the grindstone and took it just day to day. And I think there's a really good manager on the north side of Chicago that is creative in finding ways. And I think there's a kind of a blue-collar approach to Craig Counsell that his roster has they've reflected in what he does. So I think it's a fair question to wonder if, as we get into August and September, if this young roster will handle those moments well, because it gets tighter. And it gets tougher to hang on and do the things you're supposed to do when the games seem to matter a little bit more in late August and September. And that's yet to be seen. And when the last Brewers team that had an opportunity choked it away, the 2014 Ron Renneke managed team, they had kind of done it with some smoke and mirrors early and then just couldn't hold on. And once it started going downhill, they couldn't stop that snowball. And it cost Renneke his job, and eventually Melvin was farmed out too for David Stearns as the GM. But, you know, it's a fair question to ask about how they'll handle the back half of August and September. But, you know, for Brewers fans, so far, and a heck of a lot better than anybody had imagined, so far so good.
Yep, speaking of choking it away, just looking at that series in September, 4 games in Milwaukee, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. That would just be a beautiful time for like the Cubbies to come in there, down 2 games, to leave up 2 after sweeping the Brew Crew, and then on to St. Louis to clinch the division, Mike.
Well, and you know what it'll be? It will be, it's not a home series for the Brewers. It's already a home series for the Cubs. You know, they've already, you know, purchased 2/3 of the tickets at Miller Park for that series. So wouldn't that be extraordinary if that series decided something and it's essentially Wrigley Field North with a roof closed? And at least that way there won't be any rainouts on days that it doesn't rain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Friday, September the 22nd. I'm on Vivid Seats right now. I got to get a couple ducats to go on up. Stop at... Maybe hit up a Major Goolsby's on the way. That's at least my Bradley Center, now BMO Harris Bank. Yep. When I go see the Bucks play. All right. Anyway, I love the rivalry, Mike. It's fun when both the Brewers and the Cubs are in there, and that's certainly the case right now.
That'd be really cool in September that happens.
Yeah, all right. It would be great. It would be great.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Heller Sports. He hosts the Mike Heller Show across the state of Wisconsin, fills in for Dan Patrick sometimes as well. Thanks so much for coming on, Mike, and we'll be talking football pretty soon, too. Enjoy Martellus Bennett. He's a radio host dream.
Oh, I will look forward to it. Can't wait. He's already the locker room interview of choice, so get in line, I suppose, when we get up there. But we'll look forward to it. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.